welcome to this special edition of Excessive Fantasy Violence. I'm Alistair, and this is a BFI London Film Festival special. I'm going to be talking about the various films I've seen at the festival that we're not covering on the podcast. So far, I've seen four films at the festival over the first 5 days of the festival. I didn't see anything on the opening day. The first film I saw was The 13th. It's a Netflix-produced documentary about incarceration in America. I believe it's up on Netflix right now, so if you want to watch it, you can, if you're a Netflix customer. It's a really interesting, very detailed documentary about the history of incarceration in America, specifically incarceration of African Americans. It goes back to sort of Jim Crow laws and traces the kind of history of incarceration of African Americans through to the present. It's really interesting. It's very dense. There's a lot of information. It's mainly a historical documentary. In there, it's about, uses archive footage, sort of expert interviews with historians, goes back into the past, and kind of fills in the history of this topic. I'd also say it's a investigative documentary in that it tries to sort of connect the various bits of history together to sort of form a picture and sort of digs up evidence to support its thesis. Which is in essence that the kind of sort of racism is behind the rising levels of the incarceration of African Americans in America. It's really good detailed documentary. They go into there's a lot of stats, there's a lot of historical footage. They really show quite effectively how much and how quickly the prison population in America has risen in the last century, and so how, especially recently, since the Bill Clinton crime bill in the 90s, and in sort of measures since then, how much the prison population has risen. So it really goes, it gives you the modern picture as well as going back and sort of filling the historical picture. It kind of shows how different laws that have been passed have affected the prison population. It shows how different politicians have used law and order and incarceration to achieve their political goals. It's kind of all based around the idea that the 13th Amendment to the US Constitution forbids slavery and makes it illegal, but it does have an exception if you have committed a crime. And it's kind of making the point that they are trying to, slavery tried to contain African Americans. Now criminality is being used to contain them because you can take away someone's liberty if they accused of, or if they've been convicted of a crime under the 13th Amendment. Presents a lot of evidence to support this conclusion. It makes a strong case, but it doesn't sort of lead you straight to, the conclusion it wants you to draw. It provides a lot of information, a lot of expert witnesses, and a lot of detail, but it kind of does leave enough room for you to draw your own conclusions and, for you to decide based on the evidence you've seen. It's a really interesting documentary. If you're interested in history, American politics, if you're interested in crime, any of these areas, it's really fascinating. It's very kind of appropriate right now with the discussions we're having around Black Lives Matter and, the law enforcement tensions with the African American community. It's a very important documentary. It's got a lot to say. I'd recommend it. So that was the first documentary I saw and the first film I saw at the festival. Second documentary and the second film I saw was Tower, which was about a mass shooting that took place in Texas University in the mid-1960s. It's sort of the famous tower-based shooting where one former Marine shot somewhere around 40 people with a rifle from a tower. It's obviously a grim subject for a documentary. It was very interestingly put together. this documentary, in that it was mainly based around interviews with people who were there at the time and involved in the scene in varying ways, whether they were students at the university, police who were called in, local news reporters, bystanders who were drawn in one way or another. And it interviews the survivors. And then it also, we have actors who are the same age as the survivors when the events took place, sort of telling the same story. So it cuts between, you know, from the audience's point of view, the people as they are now and the people as they were then. These same actors are also used to restage various scenes that are described. And then this is all animated over using a technique called rotoscoping, when animators draw over footage of actors and it kind of creates, it makes it a bit more lifelike. Films like Waking Life and A Scan and Darkly use this again to create a more lifelike sort of impression from the animation, which works really well in a documentary. And then this sort of retroscoped animation is intercut with footage from the time. And sometimes even like, so something that's animated will be like kind of superimposed over the documentary footage, the sort of raw footage, which is interesting. So it kind of gives the whole film somewhat dreamlike, maybe memory-like quality, a sort of hint of unreality, even though it's about a very specific event and a very specific thing. It's a really interesting approach to a documentary, very unusual. I very much like creative approaches to documentaries. Really made a good use of archive footage and this sort of unusual way to present the documentary, involving the people and their stories told in different ways and through animation as well as through direct sort of face-to-camera interviews. It is a sad story. There's a lot of tragedy involved in a mass shooting, but there's a lot of positive aspects to it. There's a lot of people who risk their lives to help other people and to save other people, you know. And that's, you know, there's something very reassuring and kind of, reminds you of the human spirit and, you know, kind of reassures you. And it has like an uplifting message that even at the worst of times, people can be their very best. So there's a positive element to what is quite a sad story. It tells its story very effectively, filling in these people. They go into almost no detail about the shooter himself and his story, because this is not his story. This is the story of the people who were drawn together by this event, and it tells their story very effectively. It's a very interesting way of telling that story. It's a very gripping documentary. You know, it's quite, in some ways, risky taking this kind of slightly unusual artistic approach, but I think it really pays off. It's very interesting. The third film I saw at the festival was Spaceship. I'm not going to say much about that now because it will be covered in the next episode of the podcast. So stay tuned for MFV episode 18, and we will be me and Nick will discuss Spaceship in detail. I'd recommend you listen to that. The fourth film I saw at the festival was The Worthy, made by a group of filmmakers from the United Arab Emirates. It was shot in Bucharest in Eastern Europe, but set in a post-apocalyptic Saudi Arabia. So it's an unusual film. The characters speak Arabic, apart from one character who is Kurdish, and they can't, none of the main characters can speak Kurdish, so they can't communicate with her. This future takes place following sort of uprisings. The water supply has been poisoned, and there's very few humans kind of hiding out in sort of small bunkers and stuff if they have some water. And there's a sort of a group based around a sort of father and son leading this kind of group of survivors, trying to sort of eke out an existence and protect various sort of people. The group is infiltrated by someone they think they're saving from sort of some bandits. But this person they save, this man, turns out to be not friendly. He turns on them, murders the father, and proceeds to hunt down and kill the other people, with the pretense of him claiming that now that civilization has fallen, he wants to find who's worthy of still being alive by testing people by hunting them. And it's a thriller. It's got horror elements, people being picked off one by one. The main character is the son of the previous leader, is trying to get revenge and protect his friends and surviving family from this menace. It's a really good film. It's very, very violent. It's very tense. Really great action thriller, if you like that. Not one for the squeamish, but really recommend, probably one of the best thrillers I've seen this year, if not one of the best films I've seen this year. It was very good. If it gets a general or specific release, I highly recommend you going to see it. Great performances from all people in the film. I don't have the cast list in front of me right now, and I don't want to mispronounce horribly some of the names, so I would say that, however, all the actors in it are very good and exceptional in their parts. Like I say, it's very, very tense. It's very violent. It's a great action thing. It's a great action film. Real sort of edge of your seat stuff. I really liked it. It's better than a lot of the Hollywood action movies and thrillers I've seen this year. It was fresh enough to be original and interesting, but it, you know, also did a sort of what you'd expect a kind of a thriller to do. You know, it delivered on what you'd expect from a thriller. So that was very good. I highly recommend that. Like I say, if it comes out anywhere near you, definitely go see The Worthy. So those are the four films I've covered so far for the film festival. It's been an interesting opening to the festival. Very strong lineup they've got this year. Really enjoyed these first four films. Next 2 days, I'm not seeing any films at the festival, partly to work on the forthcoming MFV 18, which should be with you soon. Then next week, I've got another series of film, including A Monster Calls, based on the novel by Patrick Ness. There's Arrival, big budget science fiction film starring Jeremy Renner and Amy Adams. I'm seeing Oliver Stone's biopic of Edward Snowden, and some other sort of low-budget British crime movies and a French comedy. So there's some other interesting stuff. So stay tuned to the website. Check it out, and you will see probably future episodes of Excessive Fantasy Violence when I will return to cover the rest of the films from the London Film Festival. For now, enjoy your evening, and look forward to the next episode of Moderate Fantasy Violence Podcast. I've been Alistair. Thanks very much.